Chapter 10. The inn, situated at the center of Minetown, was basic and not terribly big, or full of over-the-top luxuries like some of the inns I'd heard about back on Nada. But after sleeping on the hard ground and running through the abandoned mines for what was apparently 3 whole days, the simple bed, dresser, and ensuite bathroom with a wooden tub was pretty close to heaven.
"Lean forward,"
Amaya instructed, as she poured a pitcher of hot water over the back of my neck and down my shoulders, which made me groan. My two lovers had already switched out the bath water once, because I was covered from head to toe in worm guts, sweat, and grime, so the clarity of the water was cloudy and brackish within a minute of me stepping inside the tub. Now it wasn't so bad, and I let my beautiful lovers tend to me to their heart's content.
"How is it that you have this much muck in your hair?"
Zoe complained from her perch on the stool behind me. She'd just finished a wonderful massage on my neck and shoulders, and was now trying to comb through my matted hair with her fingers. "I don't know," I sighed, as I sank lower into the hot water. "But I really hope you continue whatever it is you're doing." My eyes opened when I felt Amaya climb into the tub, and I slowly let my gaze track up and down her gorgeous form. I could never get over how pale her skin was, as if all pigmentation was leached out of her to leave behind the pearlescent sheen that seemed to make her glow. Her hips were narrow and her waist was toned, which spoke to her lithe athleticism, and her breasts were the perfect size for her gorgeous physique.
"Goddess, you're perfect," I moaned, and reached out my hand.
"Come here, so I can hold you." Amaya blushed the faintest pink and lowered herself into the warm water. The tub wasn't the biggest, but it was big enough for me to cradle her up against my front as if she was the little spoon. It was snug, but I loved the feeling of her firm back all along my torso.
"You feel so good,"
Amaya murmured, and I flexed my hips so my growing erection could fit comfortably along the crack of her backside. The sound of a bottle being uncorked was followed by a pleasant, earthy scent that reminded me of patchouli and filled the air. Then Zoe's strong yet soft hands brought Amaya to recline fully against me, and my catwife took care to position the Oryx woman's horn safely between her knees. With a few rubs, she then began to massage Amaya's clavicles, sternum, and finally her breasts with sensual strokes. Amaya shuddered, and I added my own hands to the mix by gently rubbing and kneading her tender thighs and hips.
"You both are so skilled with your touches."
"You are very responsive,"
Zoe purred as she continued to roll and massage Amaya's perfect breasts.
"It is easy to find what pleases you."
I grunted out my agreement, and one of my hands drifted down to tangle in the corn silk hairs between the augur woman's legs before I teasingly dipped my middle finger inside those petal-like folds. The Oryx woman inhaled sharply when the rough pad of my finger barely stroked over her hidden clit.
"Yes, Alex, there. Oh, you're so good. Go slower."
"Whatever you want." I buried my nose into her temple and breathed in the musky scent of her arousal. And I slowly circled under the hood of her clitoris in order to get the shy little rosebud to emerge. Amaya, meanwhile, was shaking so hard in my arms that some of the bathwater had a hard time staying inside the tub. When I finally had her little love button exposed and quivering, I brought my other hand around the back of her thigh and slipped 2 of my fingers inside her slick pussy so I could stimulate her from both sides.
Oh!
Her knees jerked to the side and sloshed some more bathwater out of the wooden wash basin with a splash, and I was glad this room seemed to have a makeshift drain in the corner. It seemed as if we were going to need it.
I'm going to come, Alex.
Amaya whined in the back of her throat.
But I want you properly inside me.
Yes, I moaned, and I scooted myself fully back against the side so she could turn around and straddle my waist. Then, with careful guidance from myself and Zoe, Amaya lowered herself slowly onto my cock. Mother of Mercedes, she was still so tight.
and my eyes kept wanting to roll permanently to the back of my head with how good each little twitch and flutter felt along my hot shaft. The Oryx woman moaned as she came to a rest only halfway down.
You're so big. I don't know if I can...
Zoe soothed as she ran her finger through Amaya's damp ringlets.
Just relax, my love.
Then my cat wife kissed Amaya on her worried lips, and I sensed the moment when her inner muscles relaxed and gave in to Zoe's methods. With a sigh, the Oryx woman sank down until she was fully seated, and our hips were finally flushed together. Beautiful, I said, as she continued to make out with the catwoman for another long moment. My arousal was coiled tight in my lower belly like a spring. But I felt unhurried about getting to the finish line, especially when my lover started up a filthy grind that had me seeing sounds, it was so intense. I knew the feedback loop of her pleasure was zinging through me just as brightly. And because of that, I suddenly changed my mind about how this was going to go. Hold on, I growled, as I clamped both hands around her waist and slammed her down on my cock in a series of deep, sharp thrusts that had her coming almost immediately.
Alex!
Amaya squealed, and even though she crushed her strong legs on either side of my hips, it didn't stop me from scraping up against that spongy patch I knew was her sweet spot. When the tempest of her orgasm was over, I caught her as she slumped forward into my arms. How was that? I chuckled, as she continued to squirm with aftershocks around my very hard shaft.
Splendid,
she hiccuped, and I kissed the side of her head as I stroked her pliant spine.
Come, you two,
Zoe said, after the Oryx woman caught her breath, and the catwoman stood by the side of the tub with a towel stretched between her hands.
The water is getting cold. Why don't we take this to the bed?
We both agreed, and after helping a wobbly Amaya stand up so Zoe could help her out and wrap the towel around her, I finished rinsing off so I could do the same. When it was my turn to dry off, I stood up and reached out for my towel. My cat wife, however, was a bit distracted by the sight of my still prominent erection jutting proudly out from my body. Kitten? I questioned, and then smirked when her sapphire eyes jumped back up to mine. Like what you see?
I need you to meet me on the bed,
Zoe said in answer, as she slinked close enough so she could wrap her hand around my hot cock. Fuck, I hissed when she gave me a languid stroke from base to tip.
Yes,
she agreed.
We wouldn't want to let this go to waste, now would we?
No, dear. I swallowed what was sure to be an obscenely loud groan when she stroked me again and again.
Now, finish drying, and then come put this inside of me.
She purred right next to my ear before she nibbled on my lobe. When she pulled back, I gasped at the sudden shock of her hand leaving my dick, and then I watched her saunter out of the bathroom with what was no doubt a poleaxed expression on my face. Oh, you're gonna get it, I muttered to myself as I hastily swiped my damp body down and climbed out of the tub. When I came into the bedroom, my jaw nearly hit the floor at the sight that had my already hard cock twitching as it struggled to get even harder. For a second, I could only stand there and feast my eyes on the delectable sight of Zoe, with her ass hanging nearly off the bed as Amaya bent over at the waist and ate her out with enthusiasm.
Oh!
Zoe moaned as she thrashed her head back and forth against the scratchy pillow. And from where I was standing, I could tell the enthusiasm was fully reciprocated. The Oryx woman, for her part, had her pert buttocks perfectly on display, and my breath stuttered when I spied her own hand rapidly working between her thighs as she continued to lick and suckle Zoe's pussy. Finally, after watching this for far longer than I'd anticipated, Amaya smacked her lips, looked over her shoulder, and wiggled her ass at me with a cheeky wink.
What?
She asked. And then I watched her arch her back and pull her pussy lips apart with the two fingers already in her snatch.
What are you waiting for?
After that sexy invitation, absolutely nothing. And I hurried over so I could sink my aching member back into her moist heat. It was heaven, and my heart thundered loudly in my chest as I started up a steady tempo that matched the smack and slap of our hips.
Yes! Oh, goddess!
Amaya squealed again as her whole body tightened, and I pounded her relentlessly through her second climax. It was difficult not coming myself when a gush of her fluids tracked down her trembling thighs, and I only stopped when her knees gave out.
Oh, baby.
Zoe cooed as she gathered up the shaking Oryx woman in her arms so she could kiss her on the mouth. I stared in awe as I stroked my cock, and I would have been happy to come by my own hand as I watched these two beauties make each other feel good. But Amaya, apparently, had other ideas.
I want you to fuck Zoe,
she said when she pulled away with heat still simmering in her rain-colored eyes.
And I want to watch.
Zoe and I both locked eyes with somewhat dumbfounded looks on our faces. It was as if the more demanding Amaya became, the more Zoe and I fed off of it, until we were practically out of our minds with lust. We could do nothing but obey the Oryx woman as she took it upon herself to be the one to line us up properly. And then she pressed our hips together, until our bodies melted into one another in such a satisfying way that my toes curled.
Shit, I'm not gonna last very long, I panted as I plowed my heavy cock in and out of my catwife's clinging channel.
I couldn't remember the last time I had prolonged my climax like this.
Me neither,
Zoe gasped, and she wrapped her long legs tightly around my waist.
Give it to me deep, husband. Goddess, I want to feel every drop of your virile seed filling me up.
The last of my self-control snapped at hearing my wife's lust-fueled babble, and I snapped my hips rapidly as I chased my orgasm with wild abandon.
That's it, Alex.
Amaya's voice chimed as I pistoned in and out of Zoe's wet pussy like I was trying my very best to fuck her through the mattress. Zoe screamed as her whole body seized up with her orgasm, and the suddenness of her spasming pussy around my cock set me off like a fire hose. Jet after jet of my cum rocketed out of me, and after every pulse, I buried my cock as deep as I could until I was well and truly spent. After everything was said and done, we all just breathed together in the resulting bliss, and it was all I could do to gently pull free of Zoe, stumble back to the washroom to retrieve a damp cloth, and then back into the bedroom so I could wipe all of us down. Then, with a negligent toss of the rag, I climbed in between my wife and my lover so I could luxuriate amidst all this soft, naked skin. And with a few more murmured endearments and tender kisses, the three of us dropped off into a well-earned sleep. In fact, we all would have probably remained content in each other's arms for the rest of the night if it wasn't for the delicious smell of roasting meat that wafted in through the cracked window sometime later. Zoe purred with her eyes still closed as she nestled against me.
What is that delicious smell?
I don't know, I murmured, as I lazily stroked her bare arm with the flat of my palm.
But it sure smells good.
Should we investigate?
She asked, and I giggled when her soft ears flickered against my chin and lips. Before I could properly answer my wife, a groaning, growling sound could be heard coming from Amaya's stomach.
I vote yes.
The Oryx woman's response was muffled by the pillow she had half her face buried in, but the words and the passion behind them was loud and clear.
Me too,
I said, when my own stomach cramped up with hunger pangs. After days of dried meat and nuts, and of weak soups and stews consisting of nothing but stringy screecher meat, if we were lucky, fresh roasted meat sounded divine.
Come on. Let's make ourselves presentable.
Zoe mock whined, but she eventually got up with some prodding and the promise of a hot meal. And before long, the three of us were cleaned up and heading outside to investigate. It was a good thing we did, too, because Minetown was currently in the middle of preparing for an epic feast, if the large bonfire in the middle of the square was anything to go by. Slabs of meat were trussed up on thick sticks and branches, and then staked into the ground all around the impressive blaze so they could cook, and every so often someone would come over and turn the slab to ensure the meat would cook evenly. for as hideous as the worms were, their flesh smelled heavenly over that smoky open flame, and my stomach cramped again.
There you all are,
Anwar said when she found us milling around the bonfire like most of the townies eager for supper.
Where did you go? We all needed a chance to recuperate some,
Zoe said smoothly.
You have excellent timing,
the Ibex woman said, and she seemed utterly oblivious to the long list of other reasons why the three of us had been MIA.
The food is almost ready, and I have strict instructions to seat you at the captain's table. Lead on, Ani.
Amaya looped her arm through her sister's, and we all followed as the Ibex woman wove in and out of excited people dancing and singing with their cheerful, drunken voices.
Alex!
Thass greeted me when we approached the low table and cushion arrangements they had going on.
Good of you to rouse yourself for the feast. There is always one after a successful hunt.
The ladies and I all took our seats around the table, and we were all immediately given tankards of warm and savory mead while we waited for the huge platters of meat to make their rounds.
Good to see you, Alex, Siskern
said, after he and the captain finished chatting about whatever it was they were discussing before we showed up. Siskern, Captain? I raised my tankard before taking a much-needed swig of the strong alcohol. What were you guys talking about?
Terms,
Tharfin said with a swig of his own beverage.
How a potential ascension accord would look and what it would do. Yes, well, we keep getting stuck on a few matters, it seems.
Siskern grumbled mildly, but good-naturedly.
One of them being the captain's insistence he could remain in Mindtown. But Mindtown is my home, just like it is for several other people,
Tharfin said in a world-weary way, like he'd been repeating this for some time, much to Siskern's frustration.
And I keep telling him that as long as he's near the exposed ore mines, he and his people will continue to get sick,
the regent explained, and then took a huge swallow of mead.
And I'll keep telling him it wouldn't be a problem once we eradicate the need for excavation like his fancy accord would be sure to include,
Tharfin said.
But enough of that talk now. Let us fill our bellies with our successful kill.
A platter of sizzling meat was then set down in the middle of our table for all present to dig right in when they got the chance. It was a little funny to see Siskern's put-out pout when the captain tabled the discussion. But at the sight of the mouth-watering food, the raptor man shoved his sulking aside so he could get his grub on. The meat was prepared in the simplest way possible, but somehow it was one of the best meals I'd ever eaten. And as I sated my appetite, I could feel myself relaxing into the easy camaraderie all around me. People chatted and laughed around the little pockets of music and dancing everywhere. And even after most of us had eaten our fill, we didn't really feel the need to call it a night. I glanced at Siskern to see if he would bring up the idea of the mine folk leaving their town again. But he seemed content to let the cheerful ambiance wash over him for the time being. Logistically speaking, it would make the most sense for them all to live and work in the upper echelon. But when it came down to people's homelands, one had to tread lightly. For now, it seemed adequate to Siskern that the topic was at least talked about. The whole feast was wholesome and relaxing in ways I'd never anticipated before. And amidst the twilight neon landscape, I was struck again by the overwhelming, strange beauty of such an alien place. In the end, I couldn't blame folks like Tharfin for wanting to stay. I felt like I kind of wanted to stay forever as well. Which was why it was such a shame when the simple joy of the town getting together suddenly ended in smoke, and not from the bonfire.
Again!
Someone wailed above the commotion as they came running into the square.
Someone has set fire to the grain bins and food storage!
Gasps ricocheted around the square as people craned their necks back to try and spot the black smoke that rose into the air.
Over there!
Another person called out. And with that, all of us were on our feet and rushing toward the new blaze with buckets at the ready. The smell of acrid burning stung my nostrils and made my eyes water. But just before I swiped the moisture away, I saw something. A slim, hooded figure slipped out from behind one of the buildings and darted in the direction away from the newest arson attempt. It was dead suspicious, so I decided to call out, "Hey, you!" Admittedly, it was not my best line when all I was trying to do was get some answers in the most non-threatening way possible. The figure, however, froze on the spot for a solid 10 seconds before turning tail to run. What the fuck? A foot chase it was, then.
"Siskern!"
I bellowed.
"Follow that asshole!"
The two of us then peeled off from the rest of the pack in order to follow the interloper, and we both armed ourselves with dual blades and whip, respectively.
"Stop!"
Siskern tried, and then he lashed his whip at a shop sign when we turned down a narrow alley. This caused the sign to break and land on a packed wheelbarrow. The chain reaction caught up with the stranger in the shape of a rogue wheelbarrow to the ass, and it and the figure both crashed into a painful heap.
"Ha!"
I exclaimed, and jumped over the tipped-over wheelbarrow in order to reveal the identity of the arsonist. When I saw the face staring back at me from underneath the hood, I was surprised, to say the least.